Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Money and Politics podcast, which is recorded on Friday, March 29th. Now, the day I'm recording this has been a very, very fraught and difficult day, and a day full of controversy. But what's been happening in Northern Ireland, the resignation of Sir Geoffrey Donaldson, and the really distressing, frankly, allegations and the charges been levelled against him. And I will talk very briefly about that at the end. I'm uncomfortable doing so. It had been my intention to do a podcast today and to look at what's happening down here, and in fairness, that's what most of this podcast will deal with, but I just think it's not possible on a day like today not to make some comment on it or to try and offer some analysis, and though analysis is probably not the word I'm struggling for here. But meanwhile, back down here on this part of the island, the nation's business has effectively been put on hold while Fine Gael takes another 10 days off to try and find and then hit the reset button. On Wednesday, March the 20th, the outgoing Taoiseach Leo Varadkar caught everyone off guard, including, it would seem, many of his valued political allies, people such as the Finance Minister Pascal Donoghue, when he announced that he was resigning immediately as the leader of Fine Gael. Now, in that press conference, the Taoiseach also stated that he would formally resign as Taoiseach, saying, quote, as soon as my successor is able to take up that office, end quote. And note the wording of this. In effect, the outgoing Taoiseach was saying that the election of a new Taoiseach would be based on a timetable set by the Fine Gael organisation. Now, this may have appeared to make sense to the outgoing Taoiseach on March the 20th, as he possibly, if not probably, anticipated that there would be an internal contest and that there would be a vote amongst the Fine Gael party members. But looking back on it, did no one in his political office, did none of the senior civil servants in his department, the Department of Taoiseach, or even in the Oireachtas, consider whether this timetable was appropriate in the event that there was no contest? Because, from the viewpoint of the outgoing Taoiseach, I can fully see how the timetable would make sense. Well, partisan sense. He resigns as leader. The party then takes 3 or 4 days for rivals to emerge and to get the requisite number of proposers. Nominations then close on the following Sunday or Monday. And then the Fine Gael organisation has about a week to make up its mind and to vote by post and have a new leader in place for the Fine Gael Ardesh to be held at the University of Galway on Saturday, April 6th next. Meanwhile, the Dáil was already scheduled to go into recess for 2 weeks, as it was due to finish up on Thursday, March the 21st, and not return until Tuesday, 2 weeks later, which is April the 9th. And so, the plan meant, the newly minted Fine Gael leader would slowly progress from Galway on a 3-day triumph to be elected by Dáil Éireann as a Taoiseach the following Tuesday. But that isn't the way things have gone. The Fine Gael leadership contest turned into a rout with a torrent of TDs and senators rushing to declare their support for Simon Harris. Harris was already installed by party leader last Sunday afternoon to the adulation and delight of those within Fine Gael. But what happened to the plan for Varadkar to, quote, and I re-emphasise this quote, resign as Taoiseach as soon as my successor is able to take up that office? Is Simon Harris not ready to take up the office? Now, by the way, I don't think he'll ever be ready to take up the office, but clearly that's not the point of question here. Why didn't the Dáil reconvene last Wednesday to elect a new Taoiseach? Or why isn't it summoned to meet next Tuesday and Wednesday to elect a new Taoiseach? Why is a provisional timetable drafted to suit the legitimate Fine Gael internal process for electing your leader not being changed when that process was never required? And because nobody's asking that question, and because nobody has said, well, why are we proceeding with the same timetable based on Fine Gael having a contest? The result of that is we now have a lame duck Taoiseach continuing in office for 2 weeks. That isn't a big problem, because it's not only Varadkar who's the lame duck. So too are the various ministers who may either be dropped or reassigned or be even promoted when the new Taoiseach takes office. Ministers, particularly Fine Gael ministers, are now more focused on keeping their jobs than they are about doing their day-to-day job, making decisions. The real business of government has been put on hold for 2 full weeks while the minority Fine Gael partner in government struggles to find a magic reset button that it can hit to make a dismal future look brighter. Now, by the way, this is not to exonerate the leaders of the Green Party or Fianna Fáil. It appears that they seem quite content to allow this pause, this hiatus in government of 2 weeks. Maybe they see it as the price of doing business with a party that has been in office for 13 years despite not one but two successive rejections by the voters. In his response to the outgoing Taoiseach resignation made a couple of minutes after Leo Varadkar had walked back up the steps of government buildings, the Taoiseach and Fianna Fáil leader Micheál Martin was anxious to highlight just how much more work this government has to do. He made the point that the government had a full schedule of major decisions to get through between now and February 2025, when the government's mandate comes to an end. So why does he feel that this government can take 2 weeks off making those decisions, while Fine Gael goes into a corner to figure out what it stands for? He was equally keen to remind us all that day that, quote, "This is a coalition of three parties, not personalities." Really? Is that the case? Because that wasn't quite the line the current Fianna Fáil leader was taking with colleagues when issues and problems have arisen in the past. It certainly wasn't the line he took when the question of who would nominate Ireland's next commissioner was raised with both himself and Leo Varadkar in their various briefings at the end of 2023. Back then, the Taoiseach told journalists that there was, quote, "agreement between the parties and government as to the nomination of the next commissioner, that it would be a Fianna Fáil nominee," end quote. Now, if you go and look at the programme for government, which was published in June 2020, you will find no reference whatsoever to the appointment. Search for the word commissioner, and you see Garda the commissioner, or you see various other meetings, but it doesn't talk about it in the appointment of the next European commissioner. So where is this agreement? And if it isn't in the written agreement made between the parties, where is it? Maybe I'm just cynical. Maybe I'm just bad-minded. But it sounds more like an informal agreement between individuals. Now, whether you think those individuals are personalities or not, that's a separate matter. But even calling it an agreement might be an overstatement when you consider that Leo Varadkar, as part of those end-of-year briefings, told journalists that there was no written agreement with Fianna Fáil on the issue, though he then declined to even say if there was an informal arrangement. Now, all of that is mute. As one of the two people who appear to have any knowledge of this unwritten agreement or this arrangement has now departed the scene. Now, Micheál can say this is an agreement between parties, but I don't get the impression that the party leaderships or other ministers involved in this, I keep getting the sense that this was something that he had agreed between himself and Leo Varadkar. And now Leo Varadkar is gone, and Leo Varadkar's successor may not feel themselves bound by private deals to which they are not a party. Now, I mean party in that one, and in the individual sense. Anyway, we're now faced with a situation where for another 10 days or so, we're going to have very little done in government, very little hard decisions made, and a great deal of spin and hype about what Fine Gael stands for and various arguments. And I just don't think that's good for any of us. I think if there was going to be a transition, then again, this is the second transition in this government from one Taoiseach to another, then it should have been done in a more efficient and in a clearer way. And I just don't think this is good for any of us. Over the next 14 days, 15 days, we're now going to have three big set pieces. So on Saturday week, April the 6th, we'll have the Fine Gael Ardéis in Galway with Simon Harris making his inaugural speech. Inaugural Ardéis speech, maybe is a better way of putting it, as the Fine Gael leader. In fairness, he made his first speech as Fine Gael leader last Sunday in Athlone. And having watched it on social media, I wasn't that impressed. But I will come back to looking at that speech, his speech on April the 6th, his speech on April the 9th, when, presuming he is elected Taoiseach, when the Dáil meets. And I'll start analysing those as we go through that over the next few weeks. But after that, we're also going to have another set piece, which is on Saturday, April the 13th, as far as I remember, in Dublin at the Radisson Hotel. You're going to have Micheál Martin giving his speech as Taoiseach and leader of Fianna Fáil, as his party gathers for its Ardéis. And I think they're going to be two important speeches. Now, in the past, as I said, I've done various analysis of various leader speeches, and I do acknowledge that I should have, and I will over the next week or so, have a look back at Ivana Batric's speech as well at her Labour Party conference last weekend. And I will look at Simon Harris's, Ivana Batric's, and Micheál Martin's speeches, and I'm sure that I must actually check and see the date of the Sinn Féin Ardéis, and I will certainly look at that one as well. And I'll look at them as pieces of writing, as pieces of political communication. But we're going to have a lot of stuff happening over the next few weeks, and that's all going to be targeted and looked at through the prism of what happens in June at the local and European elections. And I think that's the point where we're going to see just how much life there's left in this government. I personally do not think that this government gets much beyond next autumn. Now, whether it's September or October, I don't know. I really do feel that the idea of going past November is a really bad decision by government. And I think it will damage both Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the Greens going into 2025. But that's for another podcast. Now that returns us to what's happening in Northern Ireland today and the departure of Geoffrey Donaldson. I don't know the political ramifications of this, and frankly, this is probably not a day to be sifting through the political bones of this. If the allegations are true, and of course they're only allegations at this point, then the victims should be to the centre of our thoughts. And it is a little bit distasteful to watch some in Northern Ireland immediately jumping on this, trying to make political hay on it and trying to make political capital. And it has to be said that these are people to the right of Geoffrey Donaldson within unionism. The DUP has now faced with a massive problem. Whether it can come out from under this is impossible to say. I don't know enough about the internal workings of the DUP. But I think any political party that suffers something like that, with its party leader having to resign in those circumstances and with these allegations and the nature of these allegations, of course they're going to have a political ramification. Of course it's going to ask people to question their belief in the political party. But for today, if the allegations have even some basis, then our thoughts should be with the victims and to all those other families for whom today will be a difficult day because it brings back painful memories. And that's really, I think, all anyone should be saying about what's happening in Northern Ireland for the moment. It's critically important that the Northern Ireland executive continues. It's critically important that the partnership between Michelle O'Neill and Emma Pengelly continues. What's most important today is that justice is served and that wrongdoing is punished. So that's where I'll leave today's podcast. It certainly isn't the podcast that I thought I'd be preparing or writing today. And I will definitely be back with a podcast next week as I prepare for the Fine Gael Ardèche, for the election of a new Taoiseach the following Tuesday, and indeed the Fianna Fáil Ardèche a couple of days after that. What's the Chinese curse about me who live in interesting times? Well, we could do it out of that at the moment. All right, enjoy the weekend, and I will talk to you this day next week at the very latest. Bye-bye.